Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. While you're turning there, I want to remind everybody that if you have an announcement or anything that you need to have on the announcement video, the best way to do that is to go online, go to our website. We have there a section for just that thing. We have, actually, there's an area called Forms. And if you would submit that online, that's the fastest and the most streamlined way of getting that into us. And it has to be in by the last Sunday of the month. If you want it for August, then you need to have that in by the last Sunday of July. And so there's other ways of doing it. Of course, we do have the old-fashioned. Everybody remember paper way back in the old days? Stuff called paper. We have those available at the greeter's desk. You can fill them out, submit them to the greeters. They'll get them to us. But we do need that information in by the last Sunday of the month for whatever announcements you want to appear on the video for the next month. Thankful for all of the wonderful help that we have, people that we have to help us. And the announcement videos are a great way to get that information out. But we just need your help in that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we'll go. Are you glad to be here today? Amen. In the house of the Lord? Y'all look great. You sound great. We're so thankful that you're here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Just gorgeous outside, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, Paul here is speaking about our bodies, house, tabernacles here, earthly bodies. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal. Everybody say eternal. In the heavens. For in this body, in this house, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now, I will tell you that there are some scriptures that young, healthy people just cannot understand, and that's one of them. Amen. When you wake up in the morning and you bounce out of bed and nothing hurts and nothing has to be stretched and warmed up, and well, you don't understand that groaning scripture. But you get to a point in life where you start thinking about a new body. This old body starts wearing out, amen. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, we're not just going to die and there's nothing else. But we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, or not that we want to die necessarily, but that we would be clothed upon, that new body, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Would you say earnest of the Spirit? We're going to talk about that just a little bit this morning. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I want to especially pay attention today to verse number 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Would you read that with me? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's ask the Lord to move among us today. God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we reach this point of delivering your word, your message to your wonderful people, God, anoint me. Give me the words to say in this atmosphere today, Lord. Help me to Lord, to speak words of encouragement, strength, and faith. God, that it would stir us up today, I pray, Lord. Stir our minds, stir our hearts, move in our spirits. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, have your way in this place, we pray. We give you the glory and the praise. Would you clap your hands to the Lord one more time, everybody? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And you may be seated in the name of the Lord. Thank you for standing. If you would permit me today, I want to read the same scripture that I just read from another version. This is from the English Standard Version. And I want you to listen to the translation here. Same words that we just read from the King James. Paul says, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked, for while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." Now, pay attention to verse 5 here. "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us," listen to this phrase, "the Spirit as a guarantee." Now the King James says, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Anybody heard of earnest money? That's money that you put down and it says, "I guarantee." My word says, if you're putting earnest money on a house, you're saying to the seller, "I want you to know that we're serious here. We're not just talking about buying this house. We're not asking you just to hold it for us and pass up other sellers that may come along just on our word. But here's a good portion of money, and it lets you know that we're earnest. We're sincere. It's a guarantee." And the English Standard Version does a good job of translating this particular scripture. "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God. He who has prepared us for this eternal is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." I'll stop there. The Spirit as a guarantee. The Spirit as a guarantee. The presence of the Spirit in Christians' lives right now is, we could say it this way, it's a down payment or a guarantee that we're going to receive resurrection bodies when Jesus returns. I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost, one of the wonderful things that the Holy Ghost does is it prepares us for that day. Do you understand that any day now we're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air? There's going to come a moment when the trumpet of God sounds and that Holy Ghost that is in you, that Holy Ghost that keeps you right now, that got you up this morning, that resonates in your body right now, that keeps you through the valley, that causes you to pray in the Spirit, that causes you to overcome every demon that comes against you. That same Spirit is going to resurrect your body if you're in the grave, and is going to cause you to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if you're still on this earth, and you will be caught up by the Spirit that is in you. Hear me now. You've got the Holy Ghost. You're going in the rapture. You ought to thank God for that. And we're not bumbling around on this earth wondering. I think I said it last week. I think it was last week when I said, "Look, you don't have to stumble through life wondering. I hope I'm ready. I pray I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready." No. We've got Word and we've got the Holy Ghost. And when you put those things together, I can see in the Word of God that His blood has covered every sin that I've ever committed. And when I repent of it, He covers it again and He forgives me of my sin. And I'm ready, because the Holy Ghost that is in me, it's not by my works, but it's the Holy Ghost, it's the Spirit of God that prepares me. Amen. How do you know? Well, God's put a down payment on me. He's given me the Holy Ghost. He let me know that one of these days I'm getting out of this old world. John 14:1, I referred to it in my message here just recently, but let me take you there. John 14:1, and this is where it's what we call the Last Supper. It's where the disciples are meeting really for the last time collectively with Jesus before his crucifixion. In fact, this group will never be together again. Judas Iscariot has already left to betray Jesus and during this supper. And it's this setting where Jesus has washed the disciples' feet and confused them. He's told Peter that he's going to betray him before the rooster crows in the morning. All of these weird things that are taking place in this weird dinner. And Jesus begins to speak to them now more than he ever has and more clearly about his pending crucifixion. I'm going to be taken away from you. And he can tell that this has caused some troubling in their hearts. And so he speaks into the room and says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Here's what he says. Now, he doesn't just say, "Don't be troubled. Don't worry." He doesn't just leave it there. He gives them the reason why they don't have to be troubled. In verse number 2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Now, listen to me. Please, I'm going to say some things here about this scripture, and you don't need to put any more into it than what you want to put into it, but I'm going to just share with you a thought, okay? I'm just going to share with you a thought. Now, I know that we envision the Lord, and I'm not saying that he's not up in heaven now for 2,000 plus years, building all these fancy mansions, because that's what we think of when we see the word mansion. We think of a big old house. Amen. And so we sing songs and we preach sermons and we say testimonies about one of these days we're going to have a big old, we even sing a song, "Just build my mansion next door to Jesus." You know, that's prime property right there now. Location, 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 right next door to Jesus. Well, I'm not saying that we're not going to get to heaven and there'll be all these mansions. I won't mess with your theology if that's what you believe. I'm not saying I don't believe that. But I am going to tell you that there's other translations other than just big houses. Mansions means abodes. And Paul speaks to us about another abode. Paul says, in this earth, we have this building it's an earthly building. But when we get to heaven, whether there's a mansion there or not, I don't think any of us are going to get to heaven, look around and not see a mansion and say, where's the complaint department, right? I'm telling you, if you cross those pearly gates, there won't be anything there that'll cause you to look for a complaint department. You'll just be glad you're in the presence of God. And with a brand new body, a brand new abode. And the Bible lets me know that God, he has gone to prepare for me another place. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Here's what Jesus is saying. I know that you're wrestling right now with being troubled. I know that there are many things on your mind that are trying to weigh you down and bring you down. So let me call your attention from this now earth to this future heaven and remind you that this world is not your home. You're just passing through. So the next time you try to get discouraged about some ache or a pain, just remember this body's just temporary, but we've got a heavenly abode that's not made with hands, that is going to be eternal. It will be immortal. There'll be no more sickness there, no more pain there, no more sorrow there. Come on, somebody. No more hospitals, no more crutches, no more surgeries, no more cancer, no more tumors, no more heart attacks, no more, no more, no more, no more. Not there. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more funerals. Not when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we'll have a heavenly mansion. Somebody ought to shout amen. And Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place. I don't want you to get so wrapped up and entangled with all this stuff down here, because this body is going to deteriorate, and your mind is going to get weaker, not stronger, and your vision is going to get weaker, not stronger, and your hearing is going to get weaker, not better, and your old bones are going to hurt more, not less. And so if you're all wrapped up in this body, you'll get mighty discouraged. But if you can remember, there's a place waiting on me. There's another body. I'm going to lay this body down, but I'm going to pick up a brand new body that will not hurt, that will not ache, will not wear out. Oh, come on, somebody. That's what we've got to look forward to. Every Christian, every born-again child of God, that's what we're looking forward to. Amen. You know, they say, I was thinking about this. They say that if you lose your vision, that your hearing sharpens. Or if you, those people that are blind, their hearing is sharper than those that can see. I believe that, but I'm not experiencing that. My vision's getting worse. And I'm constantly saying, what did you say, dear? What did you say? So I don't think it means the same thing. I don't think it means old age. I went to pray the other day, Brother Dewar. I went to the hospital and prayed for Amy. We're praying for her. Amen. Young lady has cancer. You need to call the name of Amy out when you pray. God would bind that cancer, heal her body. It's Brother Sister Dewar's friend. Anyway, I went there to pray for her. And on my way in, I went to the parking garage there. They have you got to take your parking ticket on the way in. And so you keep it with you because you got to pay. You know what I'm talking about? You got to pay inside somewhere. You're going to come to a machine. It's going to ask for your money for parking. So I took the ticket inside. I go in. I met Amy. We prayed for Amy. And so on my way out, now I made this terrible mistake. I left my glasses in the truck. And so I have my ticket in my hand, and I go downstairs, and I'm looking for the machine. Now, does anybody remember, going to be carnal for just a minute, remember the old cartoon Mr. Magoo? Just call me Brother Magoo. So here I am, without my glasses, looking for where to pay for my parking. And I find the machine, and so I go to the machine, I put my ticket in, it wouldn't take it. I kept on trying to stick it in the slot, it wouldn't take it. So I look at my peripheral vision, I see this lady over here, she's waiting on me. And so I say to her, I thought, I can't see what I'm doing. Maybe I could watch somebody else, I could see where to put this. So I said, ma'am, are you waiting on this machine? She said, yeah, but you go ahead. And I said, well, listen, if you don't mind, I'm going to let you go in front of me. I'm going to watch you so I know I don't have my glasses. I can't see what I'm doing. And I said, I'm just going to watch you, and then I'll know what to do. And she just gave me the weirdest look. And she looked down at my hand, and finally, she kind of put me out of my misery. And she says, oh, sir, she says, you pay for your parking. The parking machines are out in the garage. And so I looked at her, and I looked at the machine. I finally squinted enough to see that I was standing in front of an ATM. Trying to put my parking ticket in the ATM. And I was asking this lady if I could watch her do her banking. Can I watch you? You tell me your PIN number, please? She gave me the weirdest look. And I don't know if she's told the story as many times as I have, but I'm going to tell you, I need to put a chain on these things or something. I was only about 10 feet from the guy that was at the desk that I just asked, do you validate parking? He said, no. I said, well, I'm going to go pay for my parking. He watched me. I bet he was laughing his head off over there. I bet he did tell the story as much as I have. Listen, folks, your eyes don't get better with age. Your hearing doesn't get better with age. And your mind, I hate to say this, you know, but it doesn't, there's a reason why the Bible says you need to hide the word away in your heart. While you're young, you need to study. While you're young, because you get it in there while you're young. The older you get, anybody know what I'm talking about when I say, I don't retain things like I used to retain them. Don't be offended if I don't remember your name 10 minutes later. I'm an equal opportunity on that. I don't remember anybody's name anymore. I call a lot of the young people buddy anymore. If they're a guy, hey, buddy. And if they're a young lady, hi, sweetheart. And that's not me. I'm not trying to be overly friendly. I'm just trying to remember names, you know. It's rough. But thank God, in a moment, have you thought about this? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed from mortal to immortal. We get a new body that won't wear out, won't get old, won't wear out on us. Hallelujah. And we live in this messed up world. Forget about our bodies for a minute. Isn't this world messed up? Isn't it getting worse? You know, this past week in our public library in Bloomington, they have a program where drag queens, and if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to explain it to you right now. You can go look it up. Just be careful when you're looking it up. Men dressed like women. I'll explain it to you. Men dressed up like women in our public library in Bloomington. I pray it didn't happen. I didn't read the article. I just couldn't finish the article. I hope it didn't happen in Ellisville. Right now I'm just, yes? No? In Bloomington. Drag queens reading to our children. So I'm thinking, surely there were just two or three kids. Surely there were just two or three sets of parents that said, I'm going to take my children down there and I'm going to make a point. Folks, it was filled to capacity. Now I'm telling you, that's the world we live in. This stuff's not done in a corner. This stuff's put right in our faces. It's you've got to accept this. You've got to not only accept this, you better approve of it. And we went from this whole homosexuality agenda. Do you remember the day when they were saying to us, look, let us do our thing. Just let us have our weddings, and we're not going to bother you. We're not going to force it on you. You just let us do our thing, and you do your thing. But now, how many bakeries have gone out of business now because they're not going to celebrate a homosexual wedding? How many photographers are having to run for cover? How many people who rent out facilities are now running for cover? Why? Because I'm telling you, it's running rampant. They're on a rampage. The Bible says they're not only going to do their thing, they're going to hate those who are good. They're going to hate and despise those who are doing good. That's the world we live in. Whether we like it or not, that's the world, that's the nation we live in, that's the culture that we live in. Sin abounds. It's getting worse, getting worse, getting worse. Aren't you glad that the Bible lets you know that where sin doth abound? You know, you thought that was just talking about your life, and it is. It's talking about your life, but it's also talking about anywhere where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. So I've got news for the devil that's trying to take this world to hell. The more you work and the more you wax worse and worse, the more grace abounds. And the more gospel we can preach. And the more altars we're going to see filled up. And the more baptistries we're going to see used. And the more people that are going to be saved. Come on, do you believe that, church? That even though we live in a messed up world, we live in a very good age for revival. And I believe that we're going to see the greatest revival the church has ever seen in these last few days. Come on and clap your hands, everybody, if you believe that today. You believe God's going to send a mighty revival to this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shootings at funeral processions. This is just in your news the last few days. People getting shot up in a funeral procession. Crime running rampant. Drug addiction is one of the major problems right now in our culture, like never before. Christianity under attack. Truly, I believe we live in the days that Paul warned of. The words of a dying man to his son in Christ, Timothy. When Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, you know the scripture. He said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. These are the last days he's speaking about. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. They would be traitors. There'll be false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. This is where we are. Despisers of those that are good, traitors and and high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'd have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now Paul says when you see those kind of people, they've got a form of it but they deny the power of it. He said don't embrace them, don't accept them, don't fellowship them, but from such, he says, you've got to turn away. You've got to take a stand and you keep on having revival. Down to verse 12, very same chapter. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. I hate to tell you, I'm not bringing you good news today if you're putting all your stock in this earth, in this life, in this world. Because to be a Christian in this day, you're going to suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But he says, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Listen to me. Turning point, hear me today, because I'm preaching to some of you that need to hear this. This is no time for you to be discouraged. This is no time for you to be distraught. This is no time for the church to be wringing their hands, coming to church all distracted and worried, can't worship, can't praise God, can't listen to the sermon, can't make it to church because you're so nervous and upset. No, he says, in these last days, what do? We go ahead and just continue. Can you bring this scripture up, sister? I'm in 2 Timothy 3. And I'm at verse number 14. But he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Listen to me, church. We've got to know what we know, and we've got to be sure of the things that we have learned. If you can waver, you're going to waver right now in this day. If you can be moved, hear me, you're going to be moved in this hour right now. But Paul says, continue, continue, continue. You may not move as fast as you used to move, but keep going. Come on, somebody. You come to church. I remember when I used to come to church, I could jump real high when I jumped. But I got to be careful anymore. It's not the going high part, it's the coming down part. Amen? Come on, somebody. So I used to jump high. Now when I jump, I just kind of jump like this a little bit. Now I know 10 years from now, I may just be doing this maybe. I don't know. But whatever you can do, continue doing it. Continue doing it. Continue worshiping God. Continue praising God. Continue coming to church. Listen, something's going to happen. Some of y'all's lives today, something's going to happen between now and 5:30 saying, don't go to church. Just stay home. You don't need to go to church. You went to church this morning anyway. Come on, it'd be easier just for you to stay home. But I'm telling you, don't stay home tonight. Continue to come to church. Continue to be faithful to the house of God. Continue to do those things that you've learned. This is not time to quit church. This is time to continue. This is not time to stop praying. This is the time to continue praying. Don't stop reading your Bible. Continue reading your Bible. Would everybody just clap your hands to the Lord? Come on, somebody. Some of you sitting on me this morning, and you need to help this preacher preach. You know what I'm telling you is the truth. Continue doing what you've been doing all these years. This is not time to give up. This is not time to turn it down. This is time to continue in the things that you know, that you've learned, that you're sure of. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. You believe in God. You know there's a God. Are you sure? How do you know? This sister here has learned some things. She said, I know him. How do you know him? Well, I've been through some stuff. I learned some stuff. Oh, I'll be honest with you. When I first started with God, it was all faith. It was all just, I just believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But then I started walking with God. And then I went through some things. I didn't have the same testimony 10 years ago that I have now. 20 years ago wasn't the same as it is now. 30 years ago, 40, 50 years ago wasn't the same as it is now. Why? Because I've walked with God. I've talked with God. I've lived for the Lord. I've been through some things now. And you can't tell me. See, you got here too late to tell me that God's not real. You've reached me too late to tell me that God doesn't answer prayer. Why? Because he's answered my prayers. I've seen him move. I've felt his presence. I've been through the valley. I've been through through the struggle. I've come out victorious. I know what I have learned. I am sure. Come on now. Some of you people been around this for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and the devil trying to get in and make you wrestle with concepts of, is God real? Is God there? Is that the Bible really mean that? Am I really, do I really have to do this? Listen, you need a good old-fashioned prayer meeting. I don't mean you go talk to a buddy or talk to a girlfriend. I mean you get alone with God and your Bible and you pray down the power of heaven till you speak in tongues all over again and let God move in your life and you know that you know, and you are sure. Oh, I wish I had a little bit more help this morning. I wish some of you that were in your seats would jump up and clap your hands and just give God a praise in this place, all over this building. Aren't you glad for a God who answers prayer? Aren't you glad that you can walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that one of these days, any moment now. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen. I'm trying to get in your spirits today. I know some of the devil's trying to put some obstacles between me and you, but you got to get those obstacles out of the way. Receive this word of God this morning. It's going to help you, strengthen you, and bless you. By faith, not by sight. This is not a reference to believing the unbelievable, but rather to living all of our life based on confident trust in God's promises for the future. What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen, really, is what it means. Not seen yet. Amen. Faith says, I don't have it yet, but it's coming. You know why you can shout when I preach about a new body? None of you got a new body yet. Why are you shouting about that? Because you know it's coming. Amen. Come on now. And that Holy Ghost that the Lord gave us, the Holy Ghost that the Lord put down in us, it's a down payment. It's earnest. It says, look, this is going to happen. This is a guarantee. That's why every once in a while, you ever do something when you're in the Spirit that you couldn't do if you weren't in the Spirit? You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever spoken in tongues, then you can nod because you have done something in the Spirit that you cannot do when you're not in the Spirit. But even, I'll tell you, I've got behind the pulpit before to preach when my back hurt so bad, I couldn't hardly get out of bed. And I hobbled to the car. I hobbled into church and I just prayed, Lord, if I can just preach. And I get under the anointing of God. I remember the night this happened, man, I was preaching and I said, you know what? It wasn't here, it was another church. I said, you know what? I came, I couldn't hardly walk, but look at this. I was kicking my feet up. Glory to God, hallelujah. Preached the word of God, preached with, you know, fire and fervor. And thanking God for my healing. Church ended. Now, I believe we always walk in the anointing, but there's a special anointing that comes on you. And I got back to my car. Oh. But there was something happened in the Spirit there. And I don't know if, you know, maybe that was my faith. I don't know what it was. I did get healed eventually. But for that 2 hours while I was preaching, or an hour, a half hour, whatever it was, I felt so good I didn't want to stop that day, you know. But I preached, I don't know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And that whole time, no pain, no pain, no pain. You've shouted before when you shouldn't have shouted. You've leapt for joy when you shouldn't have been leaping for joy. You've raised your hands when you had no reason to raise your hands. What? Because of the Spirit. That same Spirit that causes you. It's just a reminder. It's a guarantee. If God can do that for you through the Spirit, then you know one of these days He's going to take you out of this world. He's going to catch you away. And we're headed for a rapture. We're headed for heaven. We're headed for that eternal abode. Goes to prepare a place for us. So the Lord said to His disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. That's why you don't get troubled down here. There's another place that we're going to. that where I am, there you may be also. It's another place. Amen. So we walk by faith. We walk in that confident trust in God's promises for the future, even when we can't see it yet. We don't have a new body yet. We don't feel a new body yet, but it's coming. Can you say amen? Amen. Paul goes on to say in 2 Timothy, evil men, seducers, are going to wax worse and worse. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then we go on into 2 Timothy chapter 4, the next chapter. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And here's what he says to this young preacher. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We are in that time right now. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's going to happen, Timothy. It's going to happen, last day preachers. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Do all the things God has called you to do. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, preach with all longsuffering and doctrine. Even though that time is going to come when they're not going to endure it, preach it anyway. You'll get to the time where it'll be hard to have a crowd when you're preaching the truth. But he says, preach it anyway. Not everybody's going to want you to preach the whole word of God. I might have offended some people this morning by what little I said about homosexuality. And I guarantee you somebody will watch it and be offended about it. But it's still in the word of God, isn't it? And so he says, even though they will not endure it, you go ahead and preach the truth anyhow. Somebody doesn't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, but preach it anyhow. Somebody doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus, but preach it anyhow. Somebody won't believe in living a separated, holy life before God, but preach it anyhow. Just keep preaching. They're going to have itching ears, and they're going to call people to teach them that will scratch their ears, but don't you do it. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and they'll be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready. Look at the words of a dying apostle. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I'm dying. And I know I'm dying. This earthly tabernacle is getting ready to dissolve. And then he does a little recount of his life. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The most important thing that can be said in your dying breath is that you kept the faith. Kept the faith. Every storm of life will try to pull out of you your faith. Amen. This is what happens. When a storm comes, you have two viewing audiences, if you will. You've got the devil on one side. He's after your faith. He wants to pull your faith out of you. He wants to use this trial, this test, to cause you to be discouraged, dejected, and just release your faith. Just let go of your faith. Just let it go. And then you've got the Lord. He's over here, and he's wanting to work all things together for good. His desire is not that you let go of your faith, but that you will release your faith into this situation. His desire is that you come out of this not weaker, but stronger, wiser, not less prayerful, but more prayerful. Amen. Peter looks out there on the water in the middle of that storm, he and the disciples, and in a very scary moment, the enemy says, "That's a ghost." Amen. Fear says, "That's bad." Doubt says, "That's bad." That's a ghost. Peter says, "I know I can't always trust what I see." So he says to the Lord, "Lord, if that is you, speak." Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word, the rhema, the spoken word of God, the living word of God. When he heard Jesus say that one word, "Come," that's my Savior. I know that voice. And it charged his faith. When the devil was trying to pull the faith out of that boat, the word of God came into the boat and strengthened his faith. Peter, with his eyes, if he was walking by sight, all he can see is liquid. And everything about liquid says, "I don't walk on liquid." Do you know that when Peter stepped out of the boat onto water, it was all about faith. There was nothing else keeping him on the surface. It was not his intellect. It was not his skill. It was not his talent. It wasn't how many hours he had logged up in prayer or how many years he had served God. It was a moment, somebody say moment, of faith. You say, "Come, I trust you." And he kept his focus on Jesus. And as long as his focus was on Jesus, the water was nothing but a floor, a walking path. And as long as you walk by faith, you'll be okay. You can make it if you walk by faith. Hey, keep the faith. No wonder when the devil would try to sift Peter, Jesus would say, "I've prayed for your," not your intellect, not your talent, not your skill. "I've prayed for your faith." Peter, remember that day out there on the water? You walked as long as you had faith. But when you got your eyes off Jesus and you saw the wind, our preacher Friday night at camp, Brother Stewart, did an awesome job of preaching to us. And he brought this out. He said, Peter walking on the water, the wind is what caused him to be afraid. But the wind can't hurt you. It can't kill you. The water's the only thing out there that can kill you. And he reminded us, you're already walking on the thing that can kill you. You've already got victory over the thing that can kill you. Don't worry about the noisome wind. Don't worry about the intimidating clouds. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody today. Don't you worry about the lightning and the thunder and the rain and the waves. You're already walking on because the Lord has allowed you to be victorious. You're already conquering the thing that could kill you anyway. You know what I say? Walk on. Continue trusting God. Walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, I can't believe this messed up world. Well, get your eyes off this world. You'll want to go down to the library with signs and protests, but I'm telling you, get your eyes off this world. You want to change your culture? Go make a friend, make a disciple. Then teach them to do it, and then you go do it all over again. Next year, you'll win a friend and a disciple. They'll win a friend and a disciple. There's 3 new disciples in 2 years. And the next year, do it again. And at some point, if we all do that, we're going to reach that person that's reading the stories to the kids. And we're going to reach that parent that's taking their kids out there if we keep on making friends and making disciples. I've never had a revival carrying a sign, protesting anything. But I have seen revival when I tell somebody, some individual, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you how I'm walking on the water. Let me tell you how I went through all of hell's come against me, but I've made it anyhow. Let me tell you how the devil tried to kill me. Let me tell you how I was on drugs. Let me tell you how I was an alcoholic. Let me tell you how I was in that messed up lifestyle. But Jesus got a hold of my life, and I'm walking where I should not be able to walk, not by sight, but by faith. Somebody shout faith. Somebody shout faith. Come on, everybody shout faith. I'm telling you, that's the way you're going to make it. I have kept the faith. Would you come around this altar today? Musicians, come on up and join us, please. Singers, come up and join us, please. Will the rest of you make your way up around and just stand up around this altar today, please? I feel this in the Holy Ghost. We're going to come tonight to service tonight, and we're going to pray for people who are sick. We're going to pray for people who are needing delivered. It's just going to be one of those kind of services tonight. But the Lord told me this morning, He wants to restore faith. Would that be all right today? If God would just restore some of our faith. Come on, you've gotten weak. Some of you, maybe you've been a little discouraged. You've been a little distracted. But I remind you today, remember that time in your life you were shouting? Remember? Remember that time in your life you were smiling? Remember that time in your life you had the bounce in your step? You're still serving the same God.
Yes.
It's just a different circumstance. It's just a different day. The terrain's just a little different, but it's the same God. You know what I would tell you today? Don't shout because of your circumstances. Shout because of your God. Amen. He's still God. Amen. Brother Hawkins, that's not biblical. I beg to differ. You're ahead of me. You can have stripes up and down your back that you don't deserve. Thrown smack dab into the middle of some maximum security prison, and the bars slammed shut in your face. Stocks and bonds. Come on now. You say, well, I shouldn't be shouting in the middle. You better talk to Paul and Silas about that. The Bible says at the midnight hour, when nobody else was praising God, they went ahead and said, you know what? I shouldn't, not if I'm walking by sight, but I'm going to go ahead and walk this one by faith. And Paul said to Silas, why don't we just start singing that song? You remember that old hymn? Remember that? And Silas might have said, Paul, are you serious right now? Yeah, but maybe we ought to try this faith thing tonight. We preach it all the time. Why don't we try? And they started singing in the prison in the midnight hour, in stocks and bonds and chains and prison doors, and an earthquake took place. When you touch a supernatural God by faith, supernatural things occur, and you'll be delivered, you'll be set free. Amen? Come on, I want you to find somebody that you can connect with. Find men, find another brother. Ladies, find another sister if you would do this. Or at least maybe 2 or 3 of you get together. I know some of you, this isn't your thing, but would you do this for Pastor? Would you do this? I'm trying to fill out the Spirit. Stephen, would you find somebody, connect with somebody? Hallelujah. Sister, would you find somebody and connect with somebody? Would you please find somebody, connect with somebody? Somebody connect with Brother Carl there. Somebody connect with Sister Ball back there. Sister Ball, connect with somebody. Somebody make your way back. Just break your chain. Go back there. That's all right. Nobody left by themselves right now. Thank you, Jesus. Put a hand on their shoulder or grab them by the hand. Just connect right now. I want you to begin to pray faith into their life. Don't pray for yourself at the moment. Pray for one another. Just pray for one another. Pray faith. Lord, I pray faith into my brother. I pray faith into my sister's life right now. God, strengthen their faith. Pray the prayer Jesus prayed for Peter. Pray that prayer. Lord, that their faith fail not. That their faith fail not. Lord, they're going through a trial, but strengthen their faith. They're going through a valley, but strengthen their faith. Their faith is being tested, so strengthen their faith. Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, that their faith would not fail. Devil, I know you're trying to take the faith out of them, but I'm praying faith back in them. I know you're trying to sap all of their strength, but I'm praying strength back into them right now. Come on, if you can pray in the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Come on, would you touch heaven? Pray till you feel something begin to break loose in this place today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, something's beginning to shake. Come on, don't stop now. Pray, pray, pray. Pray the prayer of faith. I believe you, Jesus. I'm confident. I'm sure. It's not this world anyway that I'm excited about. Ah, I'm looking forward to that mansion in the sky. Come on, church. Come on, Turning Point. Raise your voices. Come on, would you raise your voices in this place? Begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray faith. Pray faith. Pray faith into them. Yes, in the name of Jesus. I will not walk by sight. I will not walk by sight. I will not walk by sight. I will walk by faith. And I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. Come on, don't stop yet. Don't stop yet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we need to linger in this just for a little bit, please. Come on, your brother's life might depend on that. Your sister's life might be depending on this right now. This moment, this faith moment, where the Lord is saying, come, come on, I'm your God. I won't let you sink. I won't let you sink. I won't let you sink. I won't let you go under. Come on, God is speaking to somebody right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love. Here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Say, I want more. I want more. Want more of you, God. God. Yeah. I want more. I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Than here in your love. Here in your love.
Say no place.
No place I'd rather be.
No place, Lord.
No place. Come on and sing this.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.
Say, I want more.
I want more.
Yeah, I want more.
I want more of you.
Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.
Oh, say,
I can't control.
I want more of you, Jesus.
I want more.
I want more. One more time.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be.
Hallelujah.
No place I'd rather be.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Here in your love. Here in your love.
No place.
No place I'd rather be.
No place.
No place I'd rather be.
Mm-hmm.
No place I'd rather be.
Than here in your love. Come on, let's raise our hands one more time. Give the Lord a praise. Aren't you thankful for what you felt here today? Aren't you thankful for what the Lord is doing in our lives? Aren't you thankful for what the Lord is doing in your life? Aren't you thankful that you've got a God you can trust, you can believe, you can have faith, and you don't walk by sight? Somebody say, I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise today. We thank you, Lord. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all of our guests that were here today. We're going to keep singing. You stay as long as you like. Let's keep worshiping the Lord, but you're dismissed whenever you need to go. 5:30 prayer tonight, 5:45 service. Bring somebody that needs a healing, or if you need a touch, come tonight. We're going to preach for just a little while about faith. We're going to pray for the sick. We're going to pray for those needing delivered, and God is going to move in a supernatural way. You believe that? Say amen. God bless you. Yeah. No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be.
Than here in your love.
Here in your love. Here in your love. No place I'd rather be.
Lord.
No place I'd rather be.
No place.
No place. Here in your love, here in your love.
Set a fire, say,
set a fire.